Dear ones, with the Lord's help, I'd like to read this evening from the book of Acts, chapter number 4, beginning at verse 33 and continuing to verse 11 of chapter 5. Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 33, or 32, I'm sorry. Ljubavni želim da se pročita iz dela apostola četvrta glava, početak od 32. broj do 11. broj od 5. glave. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. May God bless our reading together. Let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. Dear ones, the portion of Scripture that is before us is very revealing of two souls. And the story is very brief, but it exposes forever in the pages of the Holy Scriptures the faith of these two. And it was maybe a few weeks ago we read a portion of Scripture of the judgment seat of Christ, and this really is a scene of the judgment seat of Christ. So what is our story? That's the reason why we come together. It's the reason why we pick up the Word of God whenever we can, and we read with prayerful hearts that the Lord would open our heart, our mind, and direct us into His truths, to reveal to each of us our story. What is the life that we are living? Because we see here the church is in its infancy. It's not far removed from Pentecost. It's a stone's throw away, you could say. And the church was And the church had great power. And it tells us here that with great power gave the apostles witness of what? Of the resurrection. That was the power. That is the power of God. And this is the message that the church was giving. And speaking of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, these very apostles are the ones who had walked with him. They've seen him. They've seen him crucified. And they felt the despair of Calvary. As we know, Thomas became a skeptic, and Peter was crying his heart out in remorse of what he has done. And it was only a few days later that Jesus rose from the grave. He was alive again. This is the hope that each one of us have. The death will not hold us. There is no sting. But it also tells us here that as they witnessed with great power, you cannot be a witness with great power unless you, as it tells us here, and with great, the great grace was upon them all. So the characteristics of the Lord Jesus was the characteristics of the apostles. That is why they could witness with great power. So the life of Christ had to be the life of the apostles, or there is no power. There's nothing. So great, it says, not only power, but great power. Not only grace was upon them all, but great grace was upon them all. Why? Because the characteristics and the life of Christ was in the church. And it says that none of them lacked anything. None of them lacked anything. How could that be? What is our race in life to amass? Is it? Is my goal to multiply and multiply? Or is my goal to... Jesus says you will always have the poor among you. Do I have it in my heart to look for someone who has needs that perhaps the Lord has given me in my stewardship the ability to see and meet the needs? Because this is what the church was doing. It says here that none among them lacked. Why? Because everyone who had possessions, think about this, everyone who was possessors of lands or houses, they sold them. And they brought that which they had sold, and they laid it down at the feet of the apostles. And then they, in turn, made distribution. And it says they made distribution to every man according as he had need. And it singles out Barnabas as one who had sold his land and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And there's this couple that now comes into this story, Ananias and Sapphira. We know them all by name. Husband and wife. But what they did is they got together and they had a little discussion in privacy. It was a private discussion between them two. And they decided that they looked at these men who It doesn't say that they had to. It doesn't say that they were asked to sell everything that you have and give it to the church. It doesn't say that they had to do that. But something that and actually we, Brother Bob mentioned it in his prayer about praying to God that we would not hold back our love. And that is the key to everything in our life. Don't hold back your love. Ananias and Sapphira held back their love. Those who sold their possessions didn't hold back their love. What was their love? To share. To make sure that the needs of all would be met. What about me? My needs will be met, just as all the others will be. That took a faith which was demonstrated by love. Love was able to demonstrate their faith. And their faith in God is what gave them the love. And they held none of it back. So, dear ones, we can ask a question for ourselves. Do we hold back love? The Lord Jesus has commanded that we would love the Lord our God with all our mind, all our heart. All. Do we hold back our love? And do we say, well, this isn't today. We don't operate in the early church environment in its strictness and in its holiness. No. What has changed? Has the Lord changed? Has His commandment changed? Has His has anything diminished? But we know that as Ananias and Sapphira were talking, they thought they were alone, but the Holy Spirit was there, and He was listening. And He heard everything that they'd said. And He heard what was in their conversation, what was in their heart. They sought some kind of praise from man. They sought a praise from a man. And they were hypocrites. You know, the Lord Jesus gave the most scathing indictments against hypocrites. Not against those who doubted. He didn't give a scathing indictment to Thomas. Thomas was weak. And he couldn't understand what had taken place, and he doubted. He doubted in his heart. But the hypocrite is the one who knows, pretends that he is, but he's not. The Lord Jesus condemned hypocrisy. Never did he in any way condone the slightest act of hypocrisy. And so Ananias and Sapphira are being exposed as hypocrites. We say, well, they're liars. Yes. But the lie was, I am this, but I'm acting like I'm this. I'm acting like I'm a Christian. I'm acting like I have the characteristics of Jesus Christ, the Lord. I am acting like I have the life of Christ in me. I've been baptized. And I've received the Holy Spirit of God. And they've seen it at Pentecost. And they were maybe among the 3,000 that were baptized in those powerful sermons that demonstrated the power of God as they preached of the resurrection. And they pretended that they were one of them. They were hypocrites. And the Holy Spirit heard their conversation. And they thought no one knew what they had talked about. But one man knew. Because the Holy Spirit told Peter. The Holy Spirit went and told Peter who Ananias and Sapphira are. And so as they came, it says, his wife being privy, in other words, they discussed, they know, They brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, what was being done was land was being sold, everything was being given. And so these two would present it as if they've given it all, but they didn't. And dear ones, you know, we sing a hymn, "Is Your All on the Altar? Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid?" Your heart, does the Spirit control? Ananias and Sapphira came as if they were laying all on the sacrifice, and they didn't. So they lied. So we have to ask ourselves, really, this is a story about us. Because we have to come to an understanding, brothers and sisters and dear friends, is my all on the altar of sacrifice? Is it being laid there? And does the heart, does my heart, the Spirit, control? And so, like we mentioned earlier, is all of my love being given, or is some being held back? And so, Peter, who wasn't there, but the Spirit of God told him what had happened, he says, "Ananias, why? Why has Satan filled your heart?" In other words, why did you allow Satan to fill your heart? Basically, he's saying, you were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. You have promised a life of sanctification, of holiness. Why did you allow Satan to fill your heart so that you would live for yourself? Why? Why, he says, you lied to the Holy Ghost. You lied to him. And you kept back part of the price of the land. He didn't say, why are you lying to me? He said, why are you lying to God? The only way we can lie is when Satan fills our hearts. Brothers and sisters, lying is not something, you know, we can look at this and say, well, you know, maybe the lie isn't the real sin here. Maybe it's the love of money, because the love of money is the root of all evil. The Lord Jesus said that. And these two obviously had a great love for money, that they couldn't separate themselves from it. And so their sin is the love of money. Yeah, that's it. Because a lie, you know, no. He says, why? Why did Satan fill your heart so that you would lie? You cannot lie, because the father of lies is Satan. And so if I lie, it's because Satan has filled my heart. Deceitfulness, to be a deceiver, to deceive someone into thinking something that isn't true. How, he said, did you allow Satan to fill your heart? Jesus is truth, and he never, ever could come to terms with a lie. He can't. He's truth. Brothers and sisters, we must have that characteristic of Christ. That's not an option to leave out, to lie. Is to lie to one another is lying to God. He said, while it remained, wasn't it your own? Like, you could have kept it. It's yours. And after it was sold, wasn't it in your own power? You could have done with it whatever you wanted. So why did you conceive this thing in your heart? You conceived this thing. And in that conceiving a lie, Satan is there. Satan is there. And so when there was a love of money, obviously, and when that love of money had to be hidden, it had to be done through a lie. Otherwise, there's an exposure. Yes, I'm a liar, or yes, I love money. And so a lie covers up the root of the problem, and that is that we've held our love back from the Lord. And so he says, why hast thou conceived this in thy heart? And he tells him, you didn't lie to men. Yeah, you came here and you lied to me, but you didn't lie to men. He says, you lied to God. Lying to God, who knows everything. How does a man ever come to terms with lying to someone? Because the scripture tells us you're lying to God. Lying to the God who has created us, gave us our breath, gave us our heartbeat, knows the hairs on our head, knows the thoughts in our hearts, was there when they had their conversation, told Peter, and Peter, I don't think he even expected what was going to happen. Here, he says, Ananias heard these words and he fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. What just happened? Ananias came. He lied. He's dead. It doesn't tell us that Peter knew that he was going to die. Peter was probably as shocked as everyone else that was there. The young men rose, they wound him up, they carried him out, and they buried him. A mourning, a day that starts perhaps with the sun, a hope. Every day is a day of a new hope, of a new day. It's exciting to wake up in the morning. What will the day bring? And there's, and then we fall into the day and it goes the way every day goes. But every morning it's exciting. And that morning that starts with that excitement is ending with him in a coffin, buried. Why? He's a hypocrite. He's not who he pretends that he is. And 3 hours later, it says, his wife doesn't know what happened. She comes in. Maybe she's looking for him. Maybe he was supposed to come home already. And now she's coming here to find out. It doesn't tell, but we can look and see. 3 hours goes by. He's not home. Whatever the case is, she comes there, and Peter knows the story. He heard it from God, the Holy Spirit. And he says, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Does it even sound a little bit cruel? Like, is he setting her up? No. He's not setting her up to lie. He knows what they had conceived in their hearts. He knows that they allowed Satan to fill their heart and that they were going to lie because they loved their money. And so he's going to expose her to herself. He says, did you? He says, yeah. We sold it for that amount. Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together? He asks her the same thing he asks her husband. How did you agree together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Again, he's not saying anything about, how dare you lie to me? Me. He just said, how dare you tempt the Lord? The Spirit of the Lord. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door. And they're going to carry you out. You're not walking out of here. The same men that took your husband out, they're going to take you out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. He's dead. Two who could have been in the pages of the history of the church, like it speaks of Barnabas. Faithful men who gave their all, who truly sacrificed all on the altar, who loved the Lord, who gave their life for Him, who were beaten. Hebrews tells us, torn asunder, mocked, whatever, all the things that happened, they yielded all to the Lord. And they endured through the Spirit and the power of God. These two allowed Satan to fill their heart. This is their story. This is the story of the judgment seat of Christ. It looks so harsh, doesn't it? It almost seems, give them a chance. But there were a pair of Achans in the early church that had to be dealt with. Just like Achan, who had the love of money. And he was told to destroy everything. And he stole, he kept, he buried it in his tent. And Joshua knew that there was something amiss. He pleaded with the Lord, why has your power left us? He said, there's sin in the camp. This is the early church in its infancy, in its beauty. Satan came in to the hearts of believers. And you know, after this, the church was never the same. It never was the same. It struggled, and it continues to struggle to this day. Satan came to do battle with the Holy Spirit. With God. It says, great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. What is it that would cause us to fear? Because when we come together and hear a story like this, it is really just a story about us. We have to know that we will be in the same position. Now, are we going to be the Barnabas? Or are we going to be the Ananias and Sapphira? Have I laid all? And you know, let's not even talk about, well, I don't have any land to sell. I don't have this. I don't have that. You know, I'm safe from that. Have you laid all on the altar of sacrifice? You don't have to have money to sacrifice to the Lord. You don't have to have that. Your heart, does a spirit control? Or has Satan filled your heart that you've given yourself the green light to lie? To lie. The father of lies is the devil himself. Jesus says, your father is the devil. So if someone, he tells the Pharisees, your father is the devil. So, who is the father of Ananias and Sapphira? It's the devil. And yet they were in the church, the early church, in its infancy, in its purity, and how they sought to make sure that everyone was equal. No one was up here, someone here in status, and they sought. They had such a love for the Lord and for one another that no one wanted to shine forth as better than someone else. And in that midst are liars and lovers of money. So what is our love? It may not be money, because I might not have money. What is my love? What is it that I'm holding back? Or what is it? What is that characteristic of Christ that I am lacking, that I'm holding back my love for something else? Because if there's something that is un-Christ-like in my heart, in my life, I am holding back. And I'm allowing Satan to fill my heart, and he's filling it and filling it. And there is a judgment seat. There is a judgment seat. Behold, the feet of the men that carried out your husband, they're right outside the door. You're not walking out of here. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And so today we hear, dear ones, a story, and it needs to waken us up and to look in our hearts. What is it that I'm lacking? The characteristics in the life of Christ, Jesus Christ, my Lord, my God, my all. He is Lord of all. He has to be my all. My heart, does the Spirit control it? Why? Why is this was not a Spirit-controlled heart of Ananias and Sapphira? Spirit wasn't controlling their heart here because they gave their heart to Satan and he filled it. And so they were able to do this. Yet they felt they were part of the church. You see how deceiving the devil is? He makes you believe you are good. That's just a little, little something, whatever it is in our life, that it does not show the character and life of Christ is from the devil. And are we going to dismiss it like Ananias and Sapphira did? Because if we do, we're going to be judged just like Ananias and Sapphira. God has not changed. His law has not changed. Who's changed? Hypocrisy, dear ones. Jesus says, I will spew you out of my mouth. I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's what lukewarm love is. Hypocrisy. You think you're this, you act like you're this, but you're not, because you've held back your love. And so that's lukewarm. And those are the ones that are the hardest to reach. One who is burning for the Lord is in his sphere of love. And one who is outside of that can feel the impact of Christ. But one who is lukewarm, one who is a hypocrite, one who is a liar, deceives himself, doesn't see. And so, dear ones, may we all, with the Spirit of God, directing, instructing, showing us, ask the Lord that he would show us through his word, through his Spirit, what is it that I have not laid on the altar of sacrifice? What is it that I have not permitted the Spirit to control in my heart? And let us, with God's help, yield our all and lay our all on the altar of sacrifice. God, our Lord Jesus, is worthy of what little I cannot give. He's worthy of my heart and your heart. And that's what he's asking for. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this day. Amen.